And now it is time to preach the word of God. If you have your Bibles today, turn to the book of James. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25. James 1. 22 to 25. And this is what it says. James 1, 22 to 25. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Now we are continuing with our series, Characteristic of Genuine Faith. Characteristic of Genuine Faith. Today is the fourth time we are going through this series. For the last three times we went through the book of James, we know that James gives us series of tests by which we can test our faith. If it is a genuine faith, if it is a saving faith, or if it's just imagination. He gives us many tests. So for you and I who are reading, for you and I who claim to be Christians, we have to go through the test he gives us. We can know if we are in faith or not. The first test James gave us was how we respond to trials. How believers respond to trial. The way you respond to trials is an indicator if your faith is true or if it is just a false, if it doesn't exist. The second test James gave us is how we respond to temptations. When we are tempted, how do we react? The way we react to temptation is an indicator if our faith is a saving faith or if it is not existent. And the third test James gives us is how we respond to the word of God. How we listen, how we react, how we desire the word of God, and how we obey the word of God reveals the nature of our faith. When the word of God is taught, when we read it, the way we react to it is an indicator if we are true Christians or if we are just lost people claiming to be Christians. You cannot separate the word of God from a true believer. The two go together. A believer without the word of God is like a child without milk. They will die. So, and James told us how we are to receive this word of God, how we are to respond to this word of God. He told us that the genuine saving faith is characterized by a proper reception of the word of God. How you receive the word of God. It's not that I read it, it's not that I hear it, but how you receive it is an indicator of it. He told us that you are to receive the word of God with submission. We are to be submissive. He went on also to talk that we are to be quick to speak or swift to speak, to listen to the word of God, sorry. We are to be quick to listen to the word of God. We are to be head looking for every opportunity where the word of God is being presented to us so that we can listen to the word of God. We have to be slow to speak. We listen quickly, we are slow to speak, and we have to be slow to anger. When the word of God is presented in our lives, when we hear it, we are not to show an indignation, an unholy wrath towards the word of God. So we are to be slow to anger. And why we are to be slow to anger, it says that for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. That is in verse 20. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And then he told us, after listening to the word of God with salvation, we are to receive the word of God with purity and also with meekness. We are to be humble when we listen to the word of God. He gave us these great words last time. He told us to put off all filthiness and abundance of wickedness. You cannot receive the word of God unless you have put off, unless you have get rid of some sins in your life. There must be purity when we listen to the word of God. It reveals areas in your lives, in my lives, where we are to take off things. Put off, put off, put off. And now, today, we are looking at the fourth test, which is genuine faith is characterized by obedience to the word of God. Obedience to the word of God. You know a true Christian by the way they receive the word of God and what they do with the word of God. He begins in verse 22, he says, "Be doers, not hearers only." Be doers, not hearers only. Those who obey God give evidence of life in God. They show evidence that God is at work in their souls. And those who disobey the word of God give show some evidence of absence of God doing work in their lives. So, the proper reception to the word of God, the proper response to the word of God is obedience to the word of God. We are to respond when we hear the word of God being read to us, when we read it on our devotional time, when we are confronted by the word of God, we are to listen to it, but we are not to stop there. James tells us that we are to be obedient. We are to do what he tells us to do. In verse 22 again, he says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only." If you are a person who only hears the word of God, he says here that you are deceiving yourself about your salvation. You are deceiving yourself. So if your duty is only to come to the church of God, you go to meetings, to conferences, you go to different kind of happenings where the word of God is read, your duty is only to receive, and you do nothing about what is being taught there, the Bible tells us that you are deceiving yourself about salvation, about genuineness, about your authenticity. The mark of a true believer, a true saving faith, the person who says that is a saved person, he has desire to obey the word of God being presented to him, to do what the word of God tells us. That is a proper response to the word of God. We are to be doers of what the Bible tells us. It's that we hear what is being presented to us and we do it. It's not that we don't want to hear and we only want to do. There are people who don't listen to the word of God, who don't go to church, who don't read the Bible, but they want to do good works. Good works. They go around and do things and they think that they are fulfilling what God has commanded them. No. We are to hear the commands of God. We are to hear the commands and the instruction of God. And then we are to do according to what the Bible tells us we are to be doing. So if you come here, come every Sunday or every time we have a meeting, you listen, and you don't do what is being told, you are just a person who just hear the word of God. But if you continue to do what it says, you are not only a person who hears, you are a person who does as well. To put this in a good soil, let us turn to the book of Acts, Acts of Apostles, chapter 2. And while you are looking there, let me give you the background of this. We know on the day of Pentecost, the apostles were gathered together on the promise God, Jesus Christ, had told them. They were there, united. The Bible tells us that while they were there, the Holy Spirit fell in them. The Holy Spirit came on them. They became empowered of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us that there was a manifestation of this. What happened was they started speaking in languages which they never learned before. They were speaking languages which were not the mother tongues. The Bible tells us that those who were from different parts of the world, they heard them speaking these languages. And those people who were not there, who were not believers, heard them speaking in the languages. They were so marveled. They were so surprised to hear these people speaking these languages. And Peter stood up and gave that great sermon in Acts 2. The Bible tells us that Peter went on to tell us what had happened, the promises of God. He told them about David. He told them about what happened to them. Jesus Christ came and the people didn't believe and they killed him. In verse 36 to 31 and to 41, we can read. Luke 2, 36 to 41. It says that, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. This is Peter talking to the people. Verse 37 says that, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brothers, what shall we do? 38, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of your of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. 39, it says, for the promise is for you and to your children and to all who are afar off, and many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. We see proper response to the word of God. We see why the word of God is to be read, is to be preached to the people. The Bible is not there just to tell us stories. When the word of God is being presented, we are to respond. We saw here that when these people heard Peter presenting the word of God to them, they were cut to heart. He told them the truth. The Holy Spirit opened their hearts. And then they asked, what shall we do? They want a reaction. What shall we do from what you have said? What do you want us to do? What does God command us to do? When we listen to the word of God, we are not just to be passive, sitting there, and that's it. When the word of God is being presented, there must be a reaction. There must be a response to it. It says here in verse 31, and those who gladly received this word were baptized. They went on to act. They went on to respond, the proper respond. They got baptized. And the Bible tells that 3,000 souls were added to them. When they heard the word of God, they were called to a commitment of obedience. They committed themselves. And Jesus Christ also affirms this necessity in Luke 6:46. Luke 6:46. This is what he says. We can read 46 to 48. Jesus says, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Jesus expects them to behave, to do something, to respond to what he tells them to do. And he goes in 46, 47, he says, whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. 49, he says, but he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. We see here Jesus Christ is emphasizing on the same thing, the right response to the word of God. It's not only to hear the word of God. It's not only to read the word of God. It's what you do with that word of God. What do you do with it? It's not about a short-term commitment. It's about long life, long. A lifelong commitment to the word of God. Lifelong obedience to the word of God. There must be a time in your life, in my life, when we hear the word of God and the Spirit of God opens our understanding and we make that commitment, that promise, that covenant that I will live a life of obedience to the word of God. And it's not only on that day we continue for the rest of our lives. Obedience. And if we do that, we will be showing that our salvation is a genuine salvation because it is lived by the life of obedience to the word of God. And if you hear the word of God time after time, you do nothing. You are the same as you were. You come, you hear the word of God, you go, nothing changes. It shows the lack of that salvation. It is a big thing for we who have children. Our children are some of those who are so privileged in this land because they hear the word of God presented to them every Sunday, every week. They hear the word of God expounded to them. They have parents who spend time reading the word of God, expounding it. We have parents who are committed to preaching the word of God. And our children are exposed to this. And the Lord Jesus Christ is expecting, he commands that you will make that right move. That right decision that you are moving towards that commitment of obedience in your own lives. Because it says that somebody who hears and doesn't do what he hears is a deceived person. If you hear and not doing, James tells us that you are a deceived person. You are deceiving yourself. So if somebody who hears and doesn't do anything is a deceived person. So we must work in our own hearts what is not deception. Deception is when we hear the word of God and we do what is commanded of God for us. We are to respond to the word of God. It's not just fairy tales. It's not just poetry. It's not just good words. These are the words which demand a reaction from you and I. Somebody who hears and doesn't do is deceived. So it's not only the proper way of receiving the word of God. It's not that when I come to the word of God, I listen to the word of God, I've done my part. I go to church every Sunday. I read to the word of God sometime. I've done my part. No, it's not that. You don't stop there. It is the proper reaction as well, which is commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ and by James as he wrote this book. The word of God sets us into a motion. We start moving. We are not static. We hear the word of God, we stay there, and that's where we are. We hear the word of God, it confronts our hearts, and we start moving to the right direction. When it exposes sins in your heart, in my heart, when it exposes the guilt, when it exposes our filthiness, we are to move towards what is right. He says here in verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. He begins with the right word here. Very interesting word, but. Very important. But. From what he says about the word of God, about hearing with purity, humility, and about submission, it begins with the word but. It is wonderful to hear. It is wonderful to listen with submission with all those good stuff. He says that, but it is not enough to hear. It's not enough to hear. We have people in church, we have people on internet whose duties is to listen to sermons. Whose duties is to listen to comments, to read about good books, whose duties is to be in contact with things of God. And they stop there. They just read and that's it. To read is good. They know all the sermons. If you say about a sermon, they know, they've listened to it. If you talk about John Wesley's great sermons or writings, they will tell you. If you talk about Lord John's great sermons, they will tell you. About Charles Spurgeon's great sermon, they will tell you about it. If you talk to them about John, whoever it can be, Piper, or it could be John, I don't know. They will tell you about the sermons. They have listened to all the sermons. They know all the great sermons out there. But they stop there. So the command here is We have to go further. The command here is that to be doers, to be doers, to be continually doing, to keep on striving in doing what we have learned, what we hear, what we read. We are to be moving forward. We saw first of all the word but, and then the second word is doers. Doers. James doesn't say do the word. He doesn't say do the word. No, James says here, be doers, because the word doer is showing that that's who you are. That is the specification of who you are. This person is a doer of this. That is part of your personality. It's not just something that casual. You do it once and you stop. Or you do it when you fail. It's that that person hears the word of God and he does the word of God. That's his life. That is her life. They are those people who practice the word of God. That is their lives. Your own personality is there. It is one thing to paint a house, and it is another thing to be a painter. It is one thing to change tires on your car, and it is another thing to be a car mechanic. It is one thing to write an email, and different thing to be a writer. So he puts it here that it is a habit. It is an habit. You are seen as the person who does the word of God. That's why he uses this word here, doers. Doers. That means that you can't count how many times you have done. That's who you are. You do day after day what the word of God tells you to do. You are identified as a doer of the word of God. You are seen by everyone, say that guy who's obedient, that guy who does the word of God, that person who does the word of God. The word but, the word doer. And then the third word here, he gives us, he says, the word hearer of the word. Hearer, the one who hears. He says, not hearers only. Not hearers only. That means you listen, but you don't do anything about the work. There's no change in life. There is no commitment. You just hear, 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 hear. He wants us not to be only people who hear. He wants us to be people who do. He doesn't want us to be people who come on Sunday, you sit, you hear, and there's no commitment. You come in the church, you hear the word of God, you are just there to audit what was wrong, or what was right, or the jokes which were good and which were wrong, and then you leave. There's no commitment. James wants us to be hearers and doers. We hear and we do as well. Hearing is not an end to it. Doing is the fulfillment of it. We are to hear the word of God. We are to look for opportunities to listen to the word of God. Every place where we know that the word of God is being taught with clarity, we want to go to that place. We look for that opportunity. But when we hear the word of God, we are not to stop there. We are not to stop there saying that it was a good sermon. We are to be people who are also striving to find the grace of God which is in that sermon. The character of God which is in that sermon. It's not that, he spoke about purity, it was really good. And we don't desire that purity in our own lives. The Word of God has to challenge us time after time. It's one thing to be somebody who say that I am religious. What you do is, I do this, I do this, I do this. Or they put the costume of that I am a Christian. They don't hear and they don't do. Or if they do things, they do things because of their own hearts. Because it is what is acceptable in society, in culture. There are people who live only to please the society or to be seen by people that they are good people. There is not this in the heart that I listen to the word of God, I want to obey the word of God. The test is how we apply what we hear. How we apply what we hear when reading the word of God, when it is taught to us, how do we reply it, apply it? And he goes on to tell us that we are not to receive this word with deception. Because, as he said earlier, if you listen to the word of God without doing what he says, you are deceiving yourselves. And this is a common thing among many Christians, many people who go to church, many people who are on the internet, having their churches to be on the internet. They have this joy, privilege of listening to the great people of God presenting the word of God at any time they want to listen to it. And some do listen to it. But it stops there. When you see them, their lives doesn't change. Their life is the same as it was. Sometimes it is even worse. They become doctors in criticizing sermons. Yeah, you see that one there, I would have said it better. Or they compare sermons. That's the only thing they do. But the proper reaction is to apply that what we learn in our own lives. There must be a change. There must be a transformation. There must be a move towards Christ-likeness. So if you are just hearing the word of God, you are deceiving yourself. You are making a gross miscalculation. Because I think, as a young person, I went to church. I heard the word of God presented to me. I heard the word of God read to me by my dad at home. And I didn't do anything with it. It was of no use. It was of no use because I didn't act upon it. What it made me? It made me a hypocrite. That way that when I was at home, I was a different kid. And then when I went away, I was a crazy don. But that's not the proper reaction to the word of God. I was deceived. And James is telling us here that not to be deceived by only be people who are satisfied with hearing the word of God. We are to make a second move. We are to go forward, to go further by doing what the word of God is telling us. In verse 23, James explains what he means by being deceived. And he makes this picture for us so that we can understand. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, in other words, he takes a deceitful path. If you come to a church and listen only to the word of God, you are deceiving yourself. You are taking a path you were not supposed to be taking. So you stop And then that's where you are. So you have to find something else to do with that sermon. It's maybe to criticize it or to compare it. You do nothing with it. James tells us here he said that he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. If you are listening to the word of God only, you are like a person who observes yourself in a mirror. You come in front of a mirror, you look at yourself, and then that's it. You do nothing. You come in the mirror, you look at yourself, you see that your hair is there, you see that you have food here, you see that you have not shaved correctly, you see that your hair is whatever, and you don't do anything about it. You have a pimple or whatever, you don't do anything about it. What was the use of you going to that mirror? What was the use of it if you didn't react on what you saw on your face? He goes on in verse 24, he says, he sees himself and he looks and lives. And with a mirror no longer in front of that person, he forgets what kind of person he was. So you come in the mirror, you look at yourself, and then that's it, you go, you do nothing. He gives us a picture so that even a youngest person, even the least clever would understand. First of all, you know what you do when you stand in front of a mirror. Why do you go to the mirror? It's to see yourself, is to fix yourself, is to do things. I'm dirty here, or my suit is sitting well, or my collar is fine, or the tie is whatever it can be. So we go to the Word of God to be exposed, to see where we need to change, where we need to work on. It's like a person who goes to a mirror and is shaving. The phone rings, jumps, leaves hair there, leaves left there, and then they get distracted and they forget, and they go maybe to work to do stuff, and then they notice later that, oh, I didn't shave here. Oh, I shaved there. I didn't shave here. So they found out they didn't finish what they were doing. Or a lady who wants to fix their face, they're there in front of a mirror and they try to do the stuff they put on their face. And then child started to cry, and then they leave. The line which should have been going this way is going a little bit up, or is going a little bit down. It's not as it should be going. And then they forget. So he wants us to be like those kind of people who are in that kind of situation. He wants us to be people who are there, we observe ourselves, and we see what we see and react upon it. You don't just go in front of a mirror and look at it and not doing anything. You don't come to church of God, you don't read the Word of God and not do anything about the Word of God. If you do that, you are deceiving yourself. You forget what person you were, what kind of person you were. Imagine me going in front of the mirror, look that I am bald, and then going back and thinking that I have afro hair, big afro hair in my head. I am deceiving myself. Imagine me coming to church. The church, the Word of God tells me that you need to repent. You are a liar. You are a liar. You're lying time after time. And me turning back and going back say that, yeah, I've always said the truth. Imagine you coming before the Word of God, and the Word of God exposes that you need to repent of your unbelief. And then you look at it, you are like, you turn back, you say that, yeah, actually, I believe in God. I believe. You are deceiving yourself. In verse 25, James clarifies what he means by this picture of the mirror. He contrasts the other person. He says that the one who only listens, the only hearer, is like a person who comes in front of the word of God, is confronted. The word of God shows the ugliness of his sin, of his sin. The word of God tells that you need the Savior, otherwise you perish. The word of God tells you that you are to take off your whatever bad character it must be. Foul mouth. It could be pride. It could be anything. He's confronted with that. He turns back and thinks that he is the opposite of what the word of God has said. But then the contrast is this of the other guy, the guy who does. Is the other person who stands in front of the word of God. He hears the word of God. He meditates in the word of God. He observes the word of God. He examines himself or herself, put herself in that page, that this is my life being described here. The word of God is describing me. The mirror of God, this is who I see. I see ugliness of my sins. I see my unbelief. I see that I don't trust in God. I am unfaithful. I see that I don't obey the word of God. I am not humble. I'm so proud. Hey, I am not what I say I want to show to the people. I hate people. You look at that, and then you make a step forward. You cry in your heart. You cry to God. Now you have revealed who I am. Now you have revealed the true person I am. I am unbeliever. Oh, I am a Christian who is not obedient. I don't walk according to your own word. The work of sanctification has just begun. But I don't make any effort to go further. God, what you want me to do? How can I achieve this? How can I take this filth? It's like me trying to put a tie on. Sometimes the shirt is too tight. And I'm trying. I don't want to leave it. I call even sometimes my daughter. She comes to help me. Because you see the reality. We have the Spirit of God. We are Christians. We have the Spirit of God. We are to cry to this Spirit. We are to cry to God to help us. There is a contrast between a person who just hears and doesn't do anything. And this gives me fear sometimes in a church like ours, where we hear the word of God time after time. We hear the word of God presented time after time. There's a danger that some of us become just people who hear, and that's it. We become experts in sermons and in the Bible. We know our doctrine, but we don't do what those doctrines tell us. We know who we are because we've been confronted time after time with the word of God, but we don't react to it. Let me ask you, what is your attitude when you come to the word of God? When you come to church, when you came today, what was your attitude when you came here? Was it that, God, please expose the shortages in my life? Expose the wickedness of my heart. Expose the areas I can become better. With the energy, with the power of the Holy Spirit, I can become better. I can be more like my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, you woke up, it was like, yeah, it's another Sunday. Yeah, Don is going to talk there. Yeah, yeah, he's fine. Same old thing. We are blessed in this church to hear the word of God as it is. We are blessed. And that's it. If you just thought you come to listen to the word of God, and that's it, the Bible tells us you are deceived. You are deceiving yourself. You are like that person who looks in the mirror and turns back and then forgets what kind of person he was. The same if you come to the church of God, listen to the word of God, you are confronted. The Spirit of God reveals the areas of your life where you can change, and you don't do anything. The Bible says you are deceived. I think the biggest obstacle in life of many Christians, why there's no change, why there's no transformation, is because they don't want to look to themselves when the word of God is being presented. They don't look to themselves to examine themselves. They don't put themselves in scriptures that this is me. This is me being described. People want to think of other persons. People hate to examine themselves. I think that's why we see people don't transform. There's no change in people's lives because people are afraid. People are too proud to look at themselves. We are to be like the second person, the hearer and doer, the person who does the word of God. The Christian sees things as they truly are, and his will or her will is brought into union with God. Is brought in with God's will. He loves what the Bible tells him, or she loves what the Bible tells him. A true Christian, when we are confronted with the word of God, we love what the Bible tells us. Your will and my will is joined with the will of God. It's not two different wills. A Christian is not a person who has a different will to the will of God. A Christian is the one who is obedient to the word of God. We have one will. And that will is revealed in the word of God, the Bible. We come to the word of God, we read the word of God, we study the word of God, and we are being blessed. And James ends in verse 25 with this great statement: this man shall be blessed in his deeds. The blessing is not only in hearing or listening. The blessing is in the doing of it. The blessing is in the doing of it. Because if you want the Lord to make you prosper, if you want the Lord to bless you, you have to be doing what you hear in the word of God. You have to be loving. You have to be kind. You are to show the character the Bible describes here of somebody who is Christian. The two, the one who hears and the one who does, have many things in common. They both hear. They both attend meetings. They both search. They both look in the word of God. They both are confronted. They both are both sins are revealed in the same way, but one is different to other because one takes the next step. He obeys the word of God. The other one stops there. This can be that you come to the church of God, the word of God is being preached, you hear the word of God, you see the need for you to change, instead of changing on spot, for you to change right where you're sitting, right where you're standing, you say, when I go home. And what happens when you go home? There are distractions. There are things the devil comes and twists your heart, lies to you, that you don't need to change. That's who you are. So you forget. It is also a sorrow for a pastor, as we know that most of our sermons are forgotten by the time people leave the church. Or sometimes it happens that on Sunday, you still think of it. But on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it's gone. The one who is wise, the true Christian, is the one who makes the changes right where he is sitting, where she is sitting, when she's confronted. They make that decision to move on from there. Because of, as we say, you stand in the mirror and you forget, you turn, you forget who you are. Let me encourage you today that if you are one who the Word of God has revealed areas of your life time after time in the past or even today, please, on spot, where you are, make things right with God. Make those changes. Make that commitment. As the people of Acts 2 say, Peter, brother, what shall we do? On spot, they didn't go back. Let me tell you that there were more than 3,000 people that day. There were not only 3,000 people. There may be some people who also heard and they didn't react. They didn't respond correctly. They just heard. Let us be wise people. Let us be those who are doers. Let us be, as people see us, they see that the doers of the Word of God. These people go to church every Sunday. Oh, that's crazy. And they also do what they do. That's even more crazy for the people of the world. But for Christians and for God, our Savior, that is an acceptable way of living lives. We are to practice what we learn. When we do that, we see growth. We see changes. We see that our life's changing. We see somebody who was unsure, they're becoming sure. We see somebody who was struggling, they become straight because they are practicing the Word of God. The Spirit empowers them. Are you the person who practices the Word of God, or are you just the person who hears the Word of God and stops there? What do you do with all the sermons you hear? What do you do with all the reading of the words you hear? In this church, we've made this commitment that every time we meet, we read more Bibles. We read more Bibles so that maybe it could be the only time people hear the Word of God. What do you do with that you hear every time we meet? If they become like just noise in your ears, nothing happens. I pray that you are a doer of the Word of God. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will give you the act of humility in your own heart. You will humble yourself to do what the Word of God reveals in your own heart. Shall we pray? Father, it is amazing how you know us well, and how you speak deep in our own heart. I am sure that all of us here are guilty in one way or another. I am sure that all of us here, time after time, you have reveal things to us. You have pointed at some sins in our lives. You've shown the ugliness of our lives time after time. Father, we have ignored. We have forgotten. what the Word of God is all about. Lord, we do pray that you forgive us. We do pray, Father, for those who are among us who has made that their habit. They have become anti. They've become people, Lord, who are resistant to the Word of God. We pray, Father, that you will humble them. You humble them, Lord, by crushing their pride, by revealing to them who they truly are. Father, they may see God. Father, they may turn to God and change the areas you have pointed in their lives. Lord, we who are Christians, who are believers, we pray that with the help, with the help of your Holy Spirit, we may be doers of your word. We might be known as people who do the word of God, and that is our personality. Help us. All this we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.